What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Guest has been at the forefront of the eco drive in Ireland for years. He was one of the first in the country to have his own electric car back in 1998. And in 2003, he built his house powered by solar and by wind and actually made of straw. He's the founder of Solartricity, and he's on the line now to talk about the do's and don'ts when it comes to solar energy. Quentin Gargan, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you've been in this business longer than pretty much everybody in the country.
Yes, we started with solar in about 2014, but in 2008, I built my house. We developed wind turbines at first, and we worked on solar panels for overseas markets, for remote off-grid sites in places like Antarctica, Falkland Islands, all sorts of places where there wasn't a reliable electricity supply. And we're still doing that sort of work, but most of our work now will be solar PV for the market in Ireland.
Yeah, now talk to me about solar PV, because there's panels on panels. What is the performance of the various panels that are available, without necessarily mentioning the worst in performance, but you can tell us what the best is in terms of output?
Well, if you're putting something on the roof of your house, you want it to be bulletproof. You don't want to be going around the scaffolding fixing panels later on. So you're looking for panels really that have a 30-year warranty on both manufacturing quality and on performance. Panels do degrade over their lifetime. And, you know, we worked in the old days, we worked with panels that degraded by 7.7% per annum. That's down an awful lot now. It's down to a stage where after 30 years, the panel should still be at 90% of its original performance.
90%?
So you want to look for that.
Okay.
90% after 30 years.
Now, I presume those panels are probably more expensive than other panels. So when you're getting a contractor in to put panels on your roof, you've got to make sure that you're getting the highest quality panels with that kind of performance.
You do, and you want to be sure that they have durability. We work with new technology, heterojunction technology. Now, the funny thing is that the panels have come down in price so much. I mean, the very first panels I bought at £5.60 sterling per watt, the price for panels nowadays, even the best quality HJT ones, is down around 20 cents.
From £5.60 to 20 cents?
Yeah.
Which means
a meteoric fall.
Now, one of the things you say is that suppose you had 10 grand in the bank and you were saving for your retirement or whatever, and you were banking on the interest coming in. You maintain that in terms of your savings on electricity, you might be better off putting PVs on your roof than putting that money in the bank.
Yes, and unless you believe electricity is going to get cheaper over the next 10 years, it's also inflation indexed. You know, you're looking after inflation as well. It's a no-brainer. Solar PV crossed the line about 2 years ago where it became a complete no-brainer for virtually every household. There's a few houses that have horrible-looking roofs when solar is put on them, but by and large, it's unintrusive. It pays for itself over 5 or 6 years, and after that, you've got another 24 years of solar panels producing electricity for free. That's becoming more and more valuable every year.
Yeah, I was talking to someone over the weekend who's put 16 panels on his roof, and he is now in credit with the electricity supplier.
Yes, we're getting paid around about 19 or 20 cents per kilowatt hour for electricity that we export. And in fact, if you have a battery system, you can buy that electricity back at night for 9 cents and sell it to the grid later on in the day from your surplus solar energy for 21 cents. There are so many. One of the things you need to look out for is that you understand your electricity consumption trends. And, you know, for example, if a house is empty between 8 in the morning and 6 in the evening, then you really need to be looking at having a battery system so that you can use some of your own energy. But
okay.
In the meantime, also.
If, for example, you're operating from home and you know that during the day there's going to be dishwashers and washing machines and irons and maybe water immersion heating and so on during the day, then your solar panels might not need a battery to make economic sense.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
No, they might not. In that particular instance, if you're using electricity during the day, if you don't have a battery, you sell your surplus electricity to the grid automatically, and you get paid at the moment 20 cents for that. Now that price may change over the years, and then at that stage you could still put a battery system in, or you could still implement water heating or car charging to happen during the day. But if your car isn't there during the day, and if you're not there using electricity or able to control appliances as the sun comes in and out, then definitely a battery is well worthwhile.
Yeah. Now, what would a typical house need to power itself? How many panels?
Well, it's funny. You don't actually use electricity as it's being produced bang on. You know, at 1 minute your panels would be producing 4 kilowatts and you're using 2 kilowatts, and another minute you'd be using 4 and the panels produce 2. And batteries iron out those lumps and bumps. And it's very hard to establish. One of the things I often see is panels on the roof of a house, and you think if you put another 6 panels up there, it would have filled out the roof nicely, it would have looked a lot better, and it wouldn't have cost all that much more, and yet it might produce 50% more electricity. So I'd always encourage people to put as many panels as would fit on the roof if they can afford it, because doubling the number of panels would double your production of electricity, but it doesn't double the price by any means. You know.
Okay, because all the peripherals that go with the installation will be the same whether you've got 10 panels or 20.
They will. You might need a slightly larger inverter, be 100 quid or 200 quid more, but outside of that, the scaffolding, the workmanship, putting in chasing cables and, you know, putting in the appliances is the expensive part.
Yeah, how does it work in terms of selling back to the grid? Is that done through your fuse board, or how does it work?
If you have a smart meter, it detects which direction the electricity is flowing in, and it records your imports and your exports, and you typically pay 32 cents per kilowatt hour for your imports, and you get paid back 19-20 cents for your exports, depending on who you're with. But that all happens automatically with smart meters.
Okay.
And we are going to see, over the life of the system, we're going to see different time charges. For example, electricity will become more expensive between 5 and 7 in the evening. It becomes cheaper between 2 and 5 o'clock in the morning. And all of these different rates can be accommodated on the inverter if you have a battery system, that you can maximize your import and export.
And will a typical installer be able to work all of that out for you?
A good installer should be. I mean, we don't do installation work ourselves. We work with installers who've been with us, some of them since 2014, who understand the intricacies of the system. And they should be trying to get to grip with your usage requirements, as well as the size of the roof of your house and other details. But
now,
they should be able to advise.
Quentin, the next question is how long is a piece of string? But for a typical householder living in a semi, if they have the agreement of the other part of the semi to have panels on the roof, because there might be a neighbour who says, no, they're unsightly, don't like those. But you don't need that neighbour's permission. You can do it anyway. But let's hope that, you know, you will cooperate with each other and perhaps even do it together. But for a typical semi, what would the cost be?
Well, first, there's been a few bonuses in the last year. Well, in the last few years, there's a grant of up to $2,100 on the system. There's zero VAT now on the installation when it's completed. And also, the good thing about the grant is that it does set a policing system in place where there's a code of behaviour, code of practice. And the industry is well regulated by the grant, by SEAI, which you probably would be talking about 5,000-6,000 without a battery, maybe 10,000-12,000 with a battery. It really depends, as you say, how long a piece of string is. What size system you're getting.
Okay, but you reckon...
It also depends a little bit.
Go on.
It depends a little bit on the height of your roof and, you know, ease of access and whether it's slates or a steel roof. I mean, one of the things that astonishes me is the commercial market, because it's so cheap to install these on a steel roof that we really should be rolling out rooftop solar long before we worry about solar parks and ground-mounted systems.
Yeah. Now, a final question is about something else you did. Wind to help power your house. What about domestic scale windmills? Are they available and are they viable?
They are available, but they're not really viable, to be honest, unless you have a situation where you have a remote off-grid site like an island or something like that. It's become, you know, the price of wind turbines in mass production doesn't get any cheaper, whereas the price of solar panels has come down in price by an awful lot. When we started off with panels at £5.60 sterling per watt, the wind turbine at 30,000 was good value for money. But the wind turbine is still 30,000 while the panels have come down in price. It's completely changed around.
Okay, so wind is not really the solution at a domestic scale. Probably on a farm it might well be, where you've got plenty of land and plenty of scope. The windmills, I mean, we're familiar with turbines on the mountainside and maybe out to sea, but there are smaller windmills that are available, aren't there?
There are, and it was a popular trend, but we quickly found that, first of all, the best place to put a wind turbine is at the very top of a mountain. It's got clean laminar flow of wind, whereas if you put a turbine down on a farm, there's trees upwind of it that cause, how far you put it from obstacles, it causes turbulence. And turbulence, as you know from flying an airplane, interferes with the way a wing works, and the blades of a turbine work like the wing of an airplane. They rely on lift.
So basically, for the farmer, the farmer is better off putting solar panels on the roof of the barn than trying to install a windmill. Quentin,
absolutely.
Thank you very much for joining us. Quentin Gargan is the founder of Solartricity.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.